There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Real time.
And bang on cue, walking on set, we have William Mullally. How are you, sir?
I like to make an entrance.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You do. If we had the cameras in here, you would have seen flying, you know, virtually the last second that, word that you said.
Yeah, it was.
Brilliant. Anyway, the good news is that William Mullally is here for the first time in a brand new year.
We have a lot to talk about, too.
We do have loads to talk about.
Already.
There's a lot of news going on in Hollywood. We're going to be talking a bit later on about everybody going to be wearing black on some of the red carpets this year. But we're going to start with a reflection of your favourite movies of 2017. Maybe some that are going to be in contention when awards season is upon us.
Yeah, I think the one thing I did differently this year, because obviously I see, you know, a movie basically every day of the year, almost all of them new. And usually a lot of times, since we don't get a lot of the big Oscar movies, you know, the big year-end movies here, just because they're smaller, they're independent, they come out in the U.S. a lot of times to the very, very end of the year, I don't have time, so I end up rushing to see everything the last week of December. And then I end up overrating those movies, just because, you know, you just saw them, so you're like, wow, that was the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So every movie, that my top 10 list every year is basically movies that William watched in the last 5 days of December. So this year I told myself, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm. I'm only going to allow myself the movies that I actually legitimately watched in 2017 on a normal schedule. And this is what I came up with.
So. All right. Fire off. What do you come up with?
So we'll count down from 10.
Yes.
Yep.
At number 10, I put Meyerowitz Stories, which actually didn't come out in any cinemas. This is a Netflix original.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that it's not a, you know, it's has no one that isn't a huge star in this movie. Mm. Dustin Hoffman plays the father of estranged children who came from different mothers and don't really get along with each other, including Adam Sandler and Ben Stiller. Mm-hmm. Never would I think that I was going to put an Adam Sandler movie in my top 10 for the year, but it is very heartfelt, amazing character work, never predictable, wonderful dynamic between families and brothers and the way that parents interact with their children, especially as they get older, and the way that families age. It's a much more mature film than we've seen from Noah Baumbach, and I absolutely loved it. So if anyone wants a more mature but still funny and intimate look at a family, Meyerowitz Stories at number 10.
Now, I didn't really enjoy a lot of Adam Sandler films. I used to enjoy his old things.
The Wedding Singer's epic.
Yeah, that was good. And then there was another one, the one with the little boy. I forgot what it's called. Big Daddy. I really enjoyed that one. But then, you know, his comedy sort of just went a bit downhill. So is this not one of those? And will I enjoy it even though it's got Adam Sandler in it?
The thing is, Adam Sandler is one of those people who doesn't try. And so as a result, you don't think of him as talented, especially because you just see him just not caring. Like, I think half of his movies, the reason he's done like 6 movies set in Hawaii is just because he wants to pay to have someone send him to Hawaii. But I think when you do get him motivated, he actually does have a lot of power, and he is a very talented and versatile actor, and he brings that here. And even though, you know, Ben Stiller, we've seen him go back and forth a lot more easily, when Adam Sandler brings the goods, he's a knockout, and he does that here.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'll take a look at that one. Now, coming up to number 9, this is, it could have gone either way, you know, following on from an absolute classic epic movie.
Yeah, I put a lot on this movie because I invested a lot of my 2017 in this movie. I went to Barcelona in June to speak to the director and two of the stars. I went to Berlin in October to speak with two of the bigger stars, and that movie is Blade Runner 2049. And the original Blade Runner is my favorite film of all time. It always would be. If this movie came out bad, if this movie came out good, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't affect how I feel about Blade Runner. But this one does bring something new to it. And director Denis Villeneuve, who's done movies like Sicario, Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal, Enemy, movie that Jason hated, but I think is very good. And I think that he's a very powerful director, and he brings something to this better than he's ever brought to a film before. It was much better than anything that I've seen from him. It's much better than most of what I've seen from Ryan Gosling. And we saw Harrison Ford, again, motivated and caring and putting his heart into it. And I think he should be up for Best Supporting Actor for this movie. And I think maybe even he should win, because it's that good. I got a very controversial quote out of Ridley Scott when I met with him just a week and a half ago. And I asked him, why did this fail? He said, it's too long. I would have taken it out half an hour. It's slow.
Right.
Well, Ridley, you're only the producer here, and I'm glad you didn't direct it, because you would have ruined it.
Right. Any awards for Blade Runner? 2049?
Yeah, it hasn't been getting... It didn't do well at the box office. It hasn't been getting a lot of awards. But if you look at Metacritic, which puts all the critics' lists together, it's the, currently the number 9 average. So actually, I put it exactly where every other critic averaged to put it. It is beloved by everyone that loves movies, I believe.
All right, up to number 8, Brigsby Bear?
Yeah, so Diff 365 launched earlier this year, and Brigsby Bear, which I misspelled when I sent it to you, Brigsby Bear, is an off-kilter, very weird comedy that I shouldn't say too much about, but I will say enough about because I think part of the reason people didn't go see it is because they, much like Blade Runner, held their plot very close to the vest. Mm. This is about a kid who was raised in captivity. And he was raised by parents who forced him to watch a television show that they themselves were making. And he thinks that everyone in the world loves this television show, and he's obsessed with it. Finally, he gets out and he goes out into the real world, and he doesn't realize that it's not popular, he doesn't realize that it doesn't exist, and so he sets off on making a movie of the television show and involving people. But it's very warm-spirited. It's, you know, it would be like he's a weirdo, and in a normal situation, everyone would reject him, but they don't. They accept him, and they look at his differences, and they bring him into the fold, and they all try to make this movie together. And it's such an optimistic movie that it completely won me over, and it's one of the few films that I've wanted to watch twice. I was coming back from L.A. after speaking with Ridley Scott, and I could have done anything. I had the entire Emirates at my disposal. Yeah, this is the movie I wanted to watch again.
Let's have a listen to the trailer of it then. Brigsby Bear.
You did it, Brigsby.
There are other people out there just like us, right?
Look at the grazer bugs, James. They're out there every night. The difference is we have dreams and imaginations to help us escape. No one can take that away from you. Ever.
There's something I need to tell you.
Everything's very big. It's really very big.
The reason you're here, the reason I'm here, is all just to help you.
Everyone says they're trying to help me, but nobody can find me the new episode of Brigsby.
There wasn't a new episode this week. This is about moving on with the rest of your life.
Try to imagine a hero.
Just be normal, all right?
Hi, I'm James. I really like your clothes.
Brigsby Bear, then. A movie that William actually watched twice, and it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, that and Blade Runner, I think, are the only two movies that I've seen twice on this list.
So we're counting down William's top 10 of 2017 and movies that may be in contention for the awards season. We're up to number 7.
Yeah, there are definitely movies that you will see on a lot of other lists. The next one is one that I think flew under the radar for a lot of people. It didn't get a lot of buzz. It wasn't released here, but it's now come out on DVD. It's on iTunes. You can see it now. It's a movie called Ingrid Goes West. And I think, especially for, you know, people in their 20s and their 30s, even parents who want to understand their kids, this is a movie, in a lot of ways, about the way we live our lives today through Instagram. Mm. It's about a girl who's got, you know, a history of mental illness, but becomes obsessed with an influencer who puts her life out there like it's the best life that could ever be lived. And she becomes so enamored with this person that she decides to move where the person lives, and become friends with her, just pretending as if by accident, and works her way into her life. And it ends up exposing the false way that people put that image out there, that their lives are perfect, and the way that social media makes us look at each other with envy and ourselves with disdain while always keeping smiles on our faces. And it's a very poignant and darkly funny film that I think more people should see.
Yeah, I'm sad I missed it. It sounds amazing.
You didn't miss it. It's available now. Go watch it tonight.
Yeah. All right. Ingrid Goes West. Now, we've mentioned this one a few times on the show. Killing of a Sacred Deer. Was this at Diff?
Yeah, so I think this will go on my... three movies this year that I think are very hard to recommend because this was a big Diff movie. It did get a good response here. It did come out in theaters at the end of December. But it is a very disturbing movie. It's not graphic. This isn't, you know, Saw, where it's going to scare you off by being a horror film. Mm. It's just, it plays off like a Greek myth where a man is cursed by someone. He was a bad surgeon. He had a substance abuse problem. He ended up killing someone by accident. And as a result, he gets cursed so that if he does not kill one of his family members, they will all die.
Mm.
And it's very haunting, very well done. It has some of the most bizarre, boring dialogue of anything, but it's so good because at every moment, even when they're talking about the weather that day, you know that something is wrong. you know that there's something dark and hidden underneath the surface, and it's inside of everyone, and they're never going to outrun it. Even though they're talking at it, like there's this giant monster in the room that's about to eat them, they're asking, how is your food?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
that kind of film.
Kind of hiding something, brushing it under the carpet.
It's going to be a very quiet ride home with your family, but I think you're going to keep thinking about it.
Killing of a Sacred Deer. We're going to come back with number five, counting up to number one of our top picks, or William's top picks, when it comes to movies of 2017.
Real time.
And William Mullally, our resident film critic here on The Ticket, joins us once again. We're having quite a bit of fun looking at his top picks, top 10 picks for 2017. We started out with the Meyerowitz Stories. Blade Runner was in at 9, Brigsby Bear at 8, Ingrid Goes West at 7, and A Very Spooky Killing of a Sacred Deer at 6. Let's get going. Number 5, William.
Yeah, number 5 is a movie that I... Basically, when we're getting to 5 to 1, a lot of these movies could easily have been number one. There's movies that I've actually seen since I made this list. For example, Call Me By Your Name, which I just watched, I, Tonya, which will be coming out soon, that I think easily could have been in the top 5 here. Yeah. These are the top 5 that I actually saw in 2017, absolutely loved, and this is one that I was raving about this summer, called Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah.
Big, big film. Hugely popular. I think at this point, Christopher Nolan is the only director in the world that has this sort of stature that he can make anything and people are going to line up to see it. I think Denis Villeneuve is one of the directors who might be building up to that point, but as nobody saw Blade Runner, he's not at that point. As good as that movie is, as it is my number 9.
Hang on. Well, just while you're on the subject of Blade Runner, Brian sent in a text saying, "Sorry, William, disagree with your opinion on the new Blade Runner. Ponderous, self-indulgent, full of non-sequiturs. Blade Runner was my biggest film letdown of the year."
Well, Ridley Scott agrees with you, so I guess you're in good or bad company, depending on how you view him.
yeah, but I not like I didn't like Dunkirk, but I didn't think it was amazing.
So Dunkirk, I think, is purely visceral. I mean, if we're looking at the things that I don't like about Christopher Nolan's movies, is a lot of times they are, as you were saying, full of non sequiturs, self-indulgent, like Blade Runner is in your view. I think that's what I view most Christopher Nolan movies as. Mm. He's best like he is in Memento, where a guy wakes up and he looks at his hand and he's figuring out who he is and he's in this moment saying, okay, I'm here, what am I going to do next? That's Dunkirk. They don't give you any background on what's happening. They don't tell you about the war. They don't tell you who any of these guys are. There's just a bunch of guys on a beach and they need to get back to England or else they're going to die because they're trapped here and the armies are closing in. That's all you need to know. It's basically a horror film. It's an escape film.
Is Harry Styles going to be coming back anytime soon?
I won't tell you whether or not he survives the movie in case you haven't seen it. But I think this shall be starting his career. I think more people are going to want to work with him after this. And it was a really wonderful movie, very visceral. A movie that's best to be seen on the big screen, but if you need to watch it on your iWatch, I won't hold it against you.
Can you watch a movie on your iWatch?
You can try. I'm sure. Text in if you've tried it.
But I think you need a good sound system to watch Dunkirk.
Right.
I think the sound was such a big deal that you need like a nice surround sound system to watch it.
So your iWatch with a nice pair of Bluetooth headphones.
Yes. Up to number 4, Florida Project.
So this is actually going to be coming out. It's cheating a little bit. This will be coming out later this month. In UAE Cinemas, it is going. They're holding a lot of the awards films. All the Money in the World also was delayed until the 25th of this month as well, just because the Academy Awards are going to be announced on the 23rd, and they know that everyone in the UAE is going to see those and think, well, why didn't those movies come out here? And then they're going to release them 2 days later. And this is one of those films. It's a very offbeat. It was the movie Tangerine, which was famously filmed entirely on iPhones. The same director made this in the end was filmed on iPhones because they illegally filmed in Disney World, the final scene of the film, just pretending there were tourists walking by. Well, we're filming a major motion picture that will be up for Academy Awards. But it's a movie about a young mother who isn't a very good mother. She doesn't take care of her daughter. But it ends up feeling like these kids are the little rascals. They're running off and they're having adventures in this downtrodden, broken slum of Florida. Mm. And they're full of life and they're incredibly offbeat, their language is off color. These are terribly behaved kids, but they're full of joy and they look at their terrible circumstances and they find a new opportunity every day. And it's very heartwarming and it's very full of love and life. And I don't think that any movie has better joie de vivre that you'll see this January 25th when it comes out. So that is The Florida Project.
Coming back to Blade Runner again, We've had more reaction on this. Do I have to watch the original Blade Runner to enjoy the new one?
I think you should, but I don't think you have to. I think you'll capture it. It's very much in, you're following a different character in a different time. And although you'll get to the end and you'll want to go back and watch that first Blade Runner, you don't need to have. I think you should, just because I think Blade Runner is wonderful. But I think, if anything, Blade Runner is a more ponderous film. That is a film that you can get lost in and think about for the rest of your life, because you don't necessarily know the answers, where I do think all the answers are in Blade Runner 2049.
Okay, we're up to your number three pick of your top 10 movies of 2017.
Another movie that's hard to recommend, another movie that once people watch, or people that have watched, including people who are huge movie buffs and, you know, live and breathe movies, people like my friend Raya from NBC at Scoop with Raya, hated this movie. We've gotten into long arguments about it.
Wow.
This is Mother, starring Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. It's from director Darren Aronofsky, who's done movies like Black Swan and The Wrestler. This is his most off-the-wall film. For me, it's about, some people say this movie is about, you know, it's about spirituality. It's about, you know, this. It's about that. It's about real-life things. For me, this is just a simple nightmare. Complete nightmare logic of what happens when you love someone who only loves themselves. And it does that in such a surreal and weird and sometimes funny way, sometimes horrific way, sometimes horrific and funny at the same time. If you can balance those two emotions, I think this movie might be for you.
Let's have a listen into it.
We spend all our time here. I want to make a paradise.
She redid all of it, every last detail. And she breathed life back into every room.
Are you happy?
I love you.
Please, come in. Hello.
Hello. He's a stranger. We're just gonna let him sleep in our house. Hello.
Hello.
Did you know he had a wife? He has pictures of you in his luggage.
What were you doing in their luggage?
Help you.
Mother.
Yes, there are house guests and we want them to leave.
Is it as dark as Killing of a Sacred Deer?
I think in a lot of ways it's darker, it's bleaker, because it gets to, there's certain things that you'll see in this movie that you cannot unsee. But to me, all of that works the entire time. I think it follows the logic of when you're in a nightmare. As I'm someone who has a lot of nightmares because I eat a lot of candy before bed, which is not even a joke. I'm a huge gummy bear fan. You know, when you think of something in a nightmare and you think, well, I hope this doesn't get worse, and it immediately gets worse? It's that film. The second you think this could get worse, it gets worse, and he makes it. And it goes over the top. It goes to things that could never possibly happen. And if that's not for you, then this isn't for you. But I do think this is a movie that is worth preserving, is worth coming out and screaming from the hilltops that I loved it, even if no one else did.
Right. So that's Mother. Number two.
Number two is a movie that did not come out here. It is finding its way to people. I saw this in Los Angeles. I had a choice between a couple movies that did not come out here, but this one I had to see because I'm such a fan of her work. With another person on this list, Noam Baumbach, who made the Meyerowitz stories, that's Greta Gerwig, who made Mistress America most recently with him. She's now gone off on her own and made probably the most acclaimed movie of the year. This, or my number one, are probably the two movies that people are just falling in love with. More than anything else, it's a beautiful film about a girl growing up in a small town of Sacramento, California. She doesn't have as much money as the rest of the kids in her school. Her father can't really find work. She gets bullied for this. She can't really find her way. And it's a coming-of-age movie, but it's just so wonderful in the characters that are here and the disconnect. It's a story of a daughter trying to find her way and a mother who is trying to keep a connection with her daughter but doesn't know how to tell her daughter that she loves her, but really does. And the only person that could bridge that is their father. So it's a wonderful family movie. There's scenes in this that had me absolutely laughing my head off, and other scenes that had me crying in my chair. It just completely got its emotional hooks in me. And when you can make me care that much and make me feel that much in a movie, you're going to be in my heart forever. And that is Lady Bird.
You're going to make it to number two. So we can't wait to find out what number one is after such a rave review of Lady Bird.
Yeah, I think when I'm looking at this list, again, any of these movies could easily be number one. Call Me By Your Name could easily be number one, which isn't on the list at all because I didn't see it in time. But with this film, a lot of times it's about asking, what are we going to be talking about in 10 years? What movies really said something that no other movie had said as well? And this is a movie that I think goes back to one of the classics of horror cinema, which is Night of the Living Dead. A lot of people think of Night of the Living Dead as the movie that started it all with zombies and started it all with these things, but it's also a movie that made you look at the experience of being an African-American black person in America in this sort of setting in a different way. And it put you in a horror film, but it made you see that sort of experience better than any other film had before it, and a lot of times after it. And that movie is Get Out. This is a movie about a kid who's going to meet his girlfriend's parents, and she is of a different race than he is, but they're cool and they're liberal, and it ends up being about the way that racism works in a way that isn't big and scary. Because we see a lot of times in the world, we see, you know, these, you know, people in, you know, white supremacists who are, you know, holding ants in Europe and America and doing terrible things and saying they hate people of other races. And we look at those and we say, okay, those are the real racist people in the world. But then there's the racism that's just everywhere, that's inside of all of us, the way that we treat people that are different from us differently, and we say that we don't. The way we have thoughts sometimes and we pretend we don't have them. And the little insidious ways that this can creep into us and alienate us from the people around us. And it just got that in such a way that no other movie had captured, that it made it one of the most important movies that's been made since, you know, the new millennium began. And so I think that it's a weird movie. It's a horror film made by a comedy director who'd only done sketch comedy before this, but he just immediately made one of the most valuable films.
Fantastic. That's Get Out then, the top 10, or the number one song, I should say, from William Mullally, our film critic. We're going to come back, and I think Sruthi and I are going to throw in a couple of our favourites,
yeah.
And also we're going to be looking at what's opening up in cinemas across Dubai this weekend.
Real Time.
With William Mullally, Real Time, who's just revealed his top 10 movies for 2017. Some real interesting ones in there, some that I haven't been able to see, the odd one that I have. My favourite movie of last year was Jumanji.
Really?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was thoroughly, thoroughly entertained. And that's why I go to the movies, to be completely entertained. And I thought Jack Black was amazing.
I think, yeah, the combo, the casting there, that movie would be nothing, but you bring in Jack Black and, I mean, it's a clever enough idea, but with Jack Black and Kevin Hart and The Rock together, oh man, like that's an all-timer. Like those guys were so amazing together. I was so lucky to be able to talk with them and meet with them and laugh with them in general, that I'm going to look back at the movie and that experience is one of the best times of my life for sure.
Yeah, wow. I really enjoyed Jumanji, especially Jack Black. Like, he plays a teenage girl.
Yeah.
You know, the avatar of a teenage girl. And the way he embodies this teenage girl, it is amazing. You cannot imagine it's Jack Black doing this. And it's great. Like, his acting skills, absolutely incredible. Mm. Definitely want to watch.
And you were saying he almost interviewed you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Started talking. What'd you eat? Where'd you go to dinner last night? All right, Jack. We're wasting our time.
What about you, Sruthi? You know, the standout movie of last year?
Well, there was only one movie I was waiting for all year, and I have to say, it did not disappoint. I know a lot of people will disagree, but I absolutely loved Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Mainly because I really did not like Force Awakens.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So I was really disappointed. I really enjoyed Rogue One, and I had great hopes for The Last Jedi. And I have to say, I'm now hashtag Team Kylo Ren a little bit. I know it's not really a popular opinion, but I really
it's not. Every young woman that I know, it's a very popular opinion.
Yeah, I'm one of them. So yeah, Star Wars for me, it was the one I was looking forward to the most. I really like Thor as well, but I have to say Star Wars took it for me in the end.
Right.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. So that was 2017. Let's delve into what's coming up this weekend. And pretty unusual movie. I kind of watched the trailer for this and I got in touch with you. I said, this looks pretty weird to me, this film. And you were telling me it's the biggest film, you know, of the week to go and see.
Yeah, this is another movie that got huge buzz. It is technically a 2017 movie in the U.S. So it was in contention for my list. And I think if we're looking at my list, the movie that made me laugh the most of any movie in 2017 was The Disaster Artist. I've always been a fan. Basically, in the early 2000s, there was this guy who no one knows where he's from, and no one knows how old he is, and he decided that he wanted to make a movie that he had written. And he had the money, no one knows where he got his money, and he decided to make it exactly the way that he wanted with some people that he knew. And it's as bizarre as anything that's ever been made, and it became an instant cult classic. People just love this movie. It's starring him, and he's a terrible actor and he's a terrible writer, and it's just bizarre at every single turn. And the more you watch it, the more you notice the strange things that are going on. Like, in the background, all of the pictures on the wall are of spoons. Right. The utensil. Okay. What's going on here? And he has weird inhuman reactions, like someone's telling him about, you know, this weird domestic abuse story, and he's like, ha, what a story, Mark. Yeah. I did not hit her. Like,
well, yeah, we've got a little clip of that scene, the rooftop scene. The movie's actually called The Room.
Yeah, and James Franco and his brother Dave Franco got together and made a movie about the making of this story, with James playing Tommy Wiseau himself, and it's just absolutely hilarious.
Let's have a clip from the original.
Did not hit her. It's not true. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hey, Johnny, what's up?
I have a problem with Lisa. She said that I hit her.
What? Well, did you?
No, it's not true. Don't even ask.
I used to know a girl. She had a dozen guys. One of them found out about it, beat her up so bad she ended up in a hospital on Guerrero Street.
What a story, Mark.
Yeah, you can say that again.
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend, and I love Lisa so much. What's bothering you, Mark?
Nothing, man.
Do you have some secrets?
Forget it.
Why don't you
tell
me? Come
forget
on.
It, dude.
Is it some secret?
No,
tell me.
Forget it. I'll talk to you later.
Well, whatever.
So that's a clip from the original movie. I think we get the gist of the acting in that, don't we?
Yeah. What? How?
Little I'm flaky. Just so happy I have you as my best friend.
Let's listen into the trailer of the new one. So this is a film about that film?
Yeah, it's the making of it and these characters. And again, it's a movie that could be done just with malice, making fun of this ridiculous human being who made the worst movie ever. But it comes in with a lot more love. I think partially because James Franco can't be hated. And he has to make him a likable character, but it's all the better for it because you end up rooting for this guy in his terrible movie and the way that they make it together. And it's just so much fun that you're going to be having. Watch some clips on YouTube. You don't have to have seen The Room to see it, but you'll see just from the trailer, this is a very, very fun movie with all of the fun guys you've seen from comedies in the last 15 years.
Los Angeles, everybody wants to be star. You have to be the best and never give up.
When I get up on stage in front of people, all I can think about is, what if they laugh at me? You, man, you're fearless. I want to feel that too.
I don't care. I'll do it.
You and me, we both have this dream.
Yeah, I guess we do.
And we'll be famous. We'll show them.
Watch out, here we come. To be or not to be.
It's not going to happen for you. Not in a million years.
But after that, this town, Greg, they don't want me.
Wish we could just make our own movie.
That's a great idea. So there's this guy, Johnny, a true American hero, to be played by me. He has it all. Good luck, many friends, and also maybe Johnny is vampire. We'll see.
This set of the alleyway looks exactly like the real alleyway.
That's right.
Well, why don't we just shoot in the real alleyway?
Because it's a real Hollywood movie.
No, yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Action!
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
But it doesn't work if you're looking at the camera.
And then this beautiful girl, anything for my princess. She betrayed him.
And then this guy, Johnny.
You go crazy. Nobody respect my vision. You are a villain. I do this whole movie for you, Greg. You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
So there's the trailer then for The Disaster Artist. Still getting the feeling it's a bit of an odd one, but is it worth a watch?
Yeah, this debuted at the Dubai International Film Festival, and the entire audience was just cracking up. 1,800 people right. In that gigantic gala.
Okay.
Everyone loved it. I think definitely go see it with a big crowd, especially late at night with people who are going to be giggly, and it's going to give you a great time.
Another movie, Jessica Chastain back on our screens, Molly. Molly's Game.
Molly's Game. So this one is from director Aaron Sorkin, who is most famous for writing some of the most acclaimed television of the last 20 years, Sports Night, The West Wing. And he's known for his, you know, snappy dialogue and his ability to give actors a lot of meat to work with. And here he gets two of the best actors in Hollywood, one of whom I had a wonderful conversation with, and two very intelligent people in Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba. And this is the true story of Molly Bloom, who was an Olympic skier who ran the most exclusive high-stakes poker game for a decade before being arrested in the middle of the night by 17 FBI agents wielding automatic weapons. So definitely a tense sort of story. And also gives the ability for them to have a lot of fun in these roles. So it's getting a lot of acclaim. I don't think people are saying this is a perfect film. I think Aaron Sorkin is always one of those writers who you love him at times, and at times you're just like, ah, oh, dude. Please, yeah. Like, you know, tone it down a bit. But he's, I think, worth watching, especially in this film, from what I've heard. And so I will definitely be lining up for Molly's Game this weekend.
Okay, Jessica Chastain, starring in that one, along with Idris Alba. Mr. Cage is back with us. Our Nicholas.
I don't even know if they sent him scripts. I think they must just send him checks and then write the name of the movie in the comments, and he says, okay. That's my... That's my opinion of what might be happening here. But, I this movie is a post-apocalyptic film, and you know, the plot of it doesn't really matter. It's Nicolas Cage being ridiculous in a ridiculous setting. This has an illustrious 3.7 out of 10 on IMDb right now from the people who have actually seen it. So it's a bad movie with Nicolas Cage. The latest one. I'm sure we had one 2 weeks ago and 2 weeks before that. But he is back, if you missed him.
I like him.
Really?
I love watching Nicolas Cage.
The Humanity Bureau, is it anything like, what was the one with the treasure? Treasure Hunter.
National Treasure?
Yeah, the National Treasure.
No, those are the ones that I think, that's the trashy Nicolas Cage that I'm going to sign up for. The Nicolas Cage, the straight-to-DVD Nicolas Cage is the one that I tend to skip. And this is one of those.
And shame Steph's not here, but she loves her horror films. We've got one that looks very scary coming up this weekend.
Yeah, the Insidious series, I can't remember how many we've had. I think this might be the fourth one so far. And these are... they always bring in a lot of fans. I think that there's a lot of people that follow the series, even if it doesn't necessarily get a lot of acclaim. So this one is about a brilliant parapsychologist named Elise Rayner who receives a disturbing phone call from a man who claims that his house is haunted. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you're looking for some spooks this weekend, this might be the film that you might want to go see.
Horror fan?
No.
No. Me neither.
I have watched it, but I wouldn't go to the cinema to watch it.
Real time. Yeah, with Mark Shruthi and indeed William Mullally, who joins us, our resident film critic.
Executive chief.
Yes.
Resident film critic. Have I got it right?
Chief executive.
Never get it right.
We're getting there.
But now we're actually going to talk about something that's happening in Hollywood right now, and it's with all the allegations that have come out in 2017. A great initiative that started, it's called Time's Up. And it was driven by the outrage and a resolve to correct a power imbalance. 300 prominent actresses, female agents, writers, directors, producers, entertainment executives, they've all signed up to this initiative to fight the sexual harassment in Hollywood and in blue-collar workplaces nationwide. And this initiative, it sounds incredible. It's got Emma Watson, it's got America Ferrara, it's got Shonda Rhimes, created Grey's Anatomy. So yeah. It's massive, and it's just gaining momentum. So 2017 was the year of revelations, wasn't it? And I think this is sort of coming out of that.
Yeah, this is kind of the backlash of the Harvey Weinstein and maybe Kevin Spacey and all that kind of thing that went on. And as a result of that, it started out with the actresses saying that they were all going to be wearing black on the red carpet to support this campaign. And now the actors as well. A lot of the actors are coming out saying that they will wear black.
Yeah, and I think it's a great movement to finally, you know, it's coming out. And even the jokes were made all the way back in 2014, I think, about all of these things, wasn't it?
And yeah, I mean, I think one of the things, I think with, we'd always known that, you know, Hollywood has its issues and that people end up getting mistreated. And there's always been jokes about, you know, the casting couch. And there's been jokes about a lot of the people that ended up having these allegations come out to the light. And I think with this at finally coming out with, you know, once we heard that tape of Harvey Weinstein that was published in The New Yorker, I think it got much more real for pretty much everyone. And it no longer were there doubters, no longer were you able to kind of turn a blind eye. You had to look at the systemic problem. And I think with things like Time Out, it's really, or Time's Up, it's really about making sure that it's not just about people being emotional in the moment because of these revelations. How do we make this long term? You know, after people stop caring as much, after it stops becoming a big story and the flavor of the month, how do we make sure that people are protected from now on? How do we change it from a moment to a sea change? And I think with this sort of thing and keeping these movements and keeping making a legal defense fund, making just a consistent support for women in these situations and men and everyone that goes through these sorts of power dynamics, I think is really, really important.
Yeah, some of the people who've come out and, you know, said that things have happened to them, you wouldn't imagine that these people would be in that kind of situation. I mean, it started off really small with the models and, you know, actresses who were asking for roles, and you think, oh, yeah, you know, you can understand in that situation. That's just how the industry is. But, you know, the other actors, the big names that have come out, it's insane that it's gone on for so long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think it's going to be, you know, talked about at some of the awards ceremonies, in, you know, in the speeches? Sometimes, you know, people will drop in something, you know, that relating to incidents like this.
Yeah, I think they have to. I mean, I think that, I think the Academy Awards will, I know the Golden Globes will as well, but I think that they need to devote, you know, just like they devote time to the people that we've lost in the last year.
Yeah.
I think they should just look at this head on and speak about it and talk about how we're not, as a, you know, as a society, as a community, as an industry, not going to be taking this anymore and not going to be allowing this sort of behavior to act. Because, you know, the Academy Awards are, I mean, no one had a bigger effect in the Academy Awards in the last 20 years than Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. And the Academy Awards knows that. And I think they need to look at that and look it straight in the mirror and change that. And so I do think that there's no better time to look at the effect that Harvey Weinstein had on Hollywood than the thing that he had the effect and he had the most power over in that time.
I mean, Kevin Spacey, you know, with House of Cards, when he came out with, you know, his apology and the knock-on effect with House of Cards being cancelled and him being pulled out of movies and everything. What's the effect are we going to see with Weinstein? Because almost everything that has been Hollywood has been Weinstein, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that he's ever going to be able to get his power back. I do think that obviously there's always going to be people who find ways to power and find ways to abuse it. The real important thing is not making sure that these people don't pop up, because you can't stop monsters from popping up. It's really just about giving people the power to fight back and giving people the power to have a voice and be able to talk about it.
Somewhere
and be believed.
That they can go and voice.
Yeah, and when they talk about it, we need to, you know, believe them. So I think that's the real thing that you need to change, because you can't stop the bad guys, but you can fight the bad guys.
Right. We mentioned Golden Globes, and that's just around the corner, coming up real soon. What are you expecting out of that, William?
Yeah, just on Sunday. I do think a lot of the movies that we were talking about are some of the big nominated films. In Best Drama, The Shape of Water, Dunkirk, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, The Post, and Call Me by Your Name. Out of those, I do think, you know, Dunkirk was my favorite. Call Me by Your Name might have actually been my favorite for the year, now that I've actually seen it. But I need some time to digest it, because I was just sitting there last night after watching it, just, I couldn't even move. It's that emotionally powerful. But Three Billboards, I think, was probably one of my most hated films of last year.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Hated that movie. Terrible. I love Martin McDonagh, and I loved his plays. I loved In Bruges, was one of my favorite films. I think this kind of exposes him as a hack in some ways, and I don't think he should ever write about America again, because he doesn't understand America and he has nothing interesting to say about it. Maybe he's not just a part of the world anymore, and we should have left him in the last decade. But that's how much I dislike this film. I know a lot of people are going to disagree and text in that they loved it. And Disaster Artist is nominated for Best Comedy, as is Get Out and I, Tonya and Lady Bird and The Greatest Showman. Again, I, Tonya, Lady Bird, you should see immediately. Disaster Artist, you should see this weekend, and Get Out, you should see as well. Greatest Showman, did you guys see that?
No.
I kind of skipped the All Singing, All Dancing, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, me too.
I watched Pitch Perfect 3. Yeah? I really liked it.
So you had your own singing and dancing today
this
weekend.
I did, yeah.
But I do think that the Golden Globes doesn't always get it right, and they don't always predict what the Oscars did here. I think this year there's some really excellent nominees that deserve more attention, and I really hope people like Michelle Williams, who's nominated for All the Money in the World, as well as Christopher Plummer, both of whom I just met a week and a half ago in Los Angeles, get their due for the things that they did in saving this role after Kevin Spacey, after that scandal, going back and refilming it and saving this movie and turning in a really excellent kidnapping thriller that's going to be coming out at the end of this month in All the Money in the World. I do hope that they get the recognition that they deserve this Sunday.
So are you putting your money on Dunkirk?
Ooh, what am I putting my money on?
For the Golden Globes?
I'm going to say, I'm going to go with my heart, and I'm going to go with Get Out in comedy and Call Me by Your Name in drama. I don't know if that's going to happen, but those are my predictions.
I don't get how Get Out is comedy, by the way. I don't know.
It's that, or it wouldn't be nominated.
Oh.
That's really it. It's the same as sometimes you put an actor who's in the movie more into supporting actor, just because, you know, that's the only way to get them in.
Yeah.
Well, William, it's has always been a pleasure having you on the show and talking movies, and we'll find out how your predictions went next week when you come in and do more real time.
And gear up for the Oscars. A lot to talk about. See you guys next week.
Loads to talk about.
Real Time.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.